channeling that lust which you have to a proper and good purpose. So that's what he goes on to say here. Let's go further. He says, V'yisachar b'kedusha neged klipas yishmol. She'yishmol oysa maiser shtus, kanal. Yisrael do shtus. V'yisachar k'siv, v'yisachar says, yodei bina, they knew they had understanding. The Isan it says Lo Mishkachas Tzurbe Rabbanan Demar. You won't find him somebody paskin Shilas Elad Asay unless he comes to Shevet Yisachar. Vze Osik B'Tayra and he learned Tayra Shze Chelik Yisachar, which is the portion of Yisachar. Kamosh Kosev, like it says, Yisachar Chamar Gorem. Kashem Shel Chamar Toenas Amaso, just like a donkey carries his load. Kach Yisachar Toenas Atara, so too Yisachar carries the Torah. Vayet Shichmo Lizbo, and he put his shoulder to the burden. Olah Shel Torah to create to accept upon himself the yoke of Torah. And that's the opposite of a chamor, the klipa of the chamor of evil. He takes himself to be not a donkey who's lustful, but a donkey who carries a load. And the load which he carries stops and subjugates the lust. It says, take to the base of Medrash. Hainu Yetzahara, take your Yetzahara of Taiva of Lust, Shenikra Manuvo, it's called Disgusting Canal, like we mentioned before, and bring a Moshchel Beis HaMedrash, take the Beis HaMedrash, Lios Cheshik V'chamidu Lidar Raisa, to have a lust and desire for Torah. Kamosh Yusha Lossi, like it will be after the Yetzahara is eradicated. Ha'osik V'Torah Gemilus Chesed, and that's what we say somebody who's involved in Torah and Gemilus Chesed, Yitzhar must be other Shnei Yitzharim. They have Torah, which combats the Yetzirah of lust. And that really was the meat of Yitzchak, who learned Torah in his room day and night. Yitzchak fights the Yetzirah of Chamor. He was the adversary of Ishmael. And that's why we have Gemilus Chesed, which overcomes the Yetzirah of Shor, of strife and violence. And that was Avram's Midah, to be Goimel Chesed, which fights that Midah of Shor. And if you have both of those, the Torah and Gemilus Chesed, you can get rid of those two Yitzharas of Chamor and Shor, of the fire of the Shor and the water of the Chamor. The heat of the fire of strife and the cold of the lust of the Taiva. Now, of course we have to get to the third one now, which is V'zesh kosu b'sar hach d'mashal chi shor says after this drasha there, Tanvelio, we learned, Lolam Yosim Adam Atzma, a divrei Torah person should always make himself a divrei Torah, Kishor Lo, like an ox who carries a burden, Vikachamor Lamasoi, and a donkey who carries a load. Hainulach Nishtea Kochos Elu, that means to use both of these powers, L'kdusha, for holiness. Ulamasoi, and the load is, Hainuegia B'divrei Torah, is to toil in divrei Torah. Ukeshor la'ol, like an ox carrying a yoke, ke'ol nitan al-shor lakuf rosho, because the yoke is put on his head to bend his head. Shel yuchal lingoch rosho, so that he shouldn't gore with his head. V'amar b'zara kodesh, and the Zohar says, the kad mizdavgei kechada, when they combine together, nafik mitkifuso dilhon, that comes out from the power, strength of them, the ikre kelev, that which is called the dog. Hareg chulei areni moseret chem lekelev. And it says in the Medrash that Kodesh Baruch Hu said, when the nation got to Rephidim and they started complaining, and they had all these complaints after Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you know what, I'll give you over to the hands of the dog. Who's the dog? Amalek. What happened there? Why is Amalek called the Tkifa, the strength of Shor and Chamor? Because the Pnimius, the Shor and Chamor, take the middle two letters of Chamor, which are Mem Vav, and the middle letter of Shor, which is Vav, and you have a gematria of 52. The gematria of Kelev is 52. So you take the strength, in other words, the essence of Chamor, which is its middle letters, and the essence of Shor, which is its middle letter, and you get a Kelev, you get a dog. What is that? V'kneg kedushas zeu klipas Amalek shenoveach b'li tam. A dog barks without any reason. V'zeu v'hu k'neg kedushas atika, and this corresponds to the kedusha of atika. The kedusha of atika literally means the ancient one, but that's the holiest level. And whenever we talk about the highest and holiest level, we talk about Atika. Shehu l'malam esoga seichel anoshi. It's the kedusha in a Jew, which is above and beyond the grasp of his mind. So to Amalek, neged haseichel, they rebelled against God, even though it was illogical. Something which is totally irrational. Something which is beyond the mind. Like it says, after Kriyas Yamsuf, and everybody else was afraid. There was nobody had any courage against Am Yisrael. Like Rochav said, he didn't care, Amalek. And therefore, Amalek represents, you know, Am Yisrael is called an Am Kshei Orif, that we have brazenness as well, but our brazenness is Azus the Kedusha, which comes to the fact that against all logic and against all reason, we are connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in a transcendent form, which transcends all Olam HaZeh Cheshbonos. Amalek is the exact opposite of that. Amalek is the power to go against all logic and rebel against Am Yisrael, and that's why they are called brazen, like a dog is brazen. Chutzpah, without any vested interest, not for taiva, not for kinah, just for the purpose of rebelling. Setting up a rebellious cause against Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if they know they're going to lose. And that is the chutzpah, which they have, is also corresponds to kavod. In other words, one has no, they're trying to set up their own alternate system to Kadosh Baruch Hu, beyond all reason. They're just looking for their own kavod and their own gaiva. Gaiva is illogical. How could somebody be haughty when they know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much greater than they themselves? It's an illogical thing. It's an impulsive thing. They, Amalek, have the same chutzpah and the same gaiva, which is totally illogical and unintelligible, but that is the power of evil. Just pure evil, which they represent. Now, this is fought by Yaakov Avinu. What does Yaakov Avinu represent to us? Yaakov Avinu represents Tiferes. Tiferes is the combination of Chesed and Gvura. But Tiferes is not just the combination of Chesed and Gvura. It's also corresponds to that which comes before Chesed and Gvura. You know, in the spheres, there are three lines. There's a line on the right, which is the line of Chesed, which includes Chachma, Chesed, and Netzach. And the line on the left, which is represents Gevura, which corresponds to Bina, Gevura, and Hod. And then you have the middle line, which is the things which are the combinations of the two. And on that line, you have the Mida of Tiferes, the Mida of Das, the Mida of Yesod and Malchus. But above that, you have the Mida of Keser, which corresponds to Atika. And the Mida of Keser, which is the highest of the spheres, which corresponds to Atika, can only be perceived in a person who has both the Midos of Chesed and Gvura, because Atika is where both the Midos of Chesed and Gvura came from. Right? Atika is on top, Keser is on top. Everything flows from there. So too, only somebody who fully has that comprehended can perceive how everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both things on the right, things on the left. Everything comes from Hashem. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, when he davened, said, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. What is Me'ayin Yavo Ezri? Me'ayin means from whence, from where. But also means from ayin, from nothingness. From making myself like nothing. If somebody makes himself like nothing, a person completely subjugates himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such an individual is helped by Hashem. Why? Because he knows to give himself over completely to Hashem, and Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem in turn turns to him and grants him all his wish. Also, the word Ayin doesn't just represent a person making himself nothing, but it connotes the Mida of Hashem, Yesh Me'ayin. God created everything, something from nothing. Now, the nothing in that sense doesn't mean literally nothing, but it means the lack of any physical substance. Before the world was created, there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was called Ayin because he doesn't have any physical substance. That's not a nothing which is void, but a nothing which is totality. So therefore, somebody who's meisim atzmo ke'ayin, he doesn't give any significance to the physical world or himself as a separate entity, connects to the ayin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He transcends the entire creation and connects, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence as transcending as well all physical things in this world. So that's a midah keneged midah. If he makes himself transcendent of all things physical, he doesn't lend any significance or credence to himself or to any other power or any other drive in the world, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate transcendence. And that is the midah of Avodah. Torah combats the taifa. Gemilus Chasadim combats the kina. But Avodah, tefillah, connecting oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by davening and yearning to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and subjugating oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizing everything comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore praying for everything from Hashem, that takes away from the Yetzer Hara of covet, of giving oneself glory, and chutzpah being brazen. How can you brazen? How can you have chutzpah if everything you do, you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Everything you request is from Hashem. And that's the midah of Avodah, which is the midah of Tiferes. Now, coming back to what we spoke to before, about the four midos, heat, cold, constant change, and constant static, cold, which corresponds to water, we said, is a chamor, that's, and corresponding to that, we have the Yisachar, and Yishmael, and that's the midah of Avraham Avinu. Yitzchak comes to fight it when it's used improperly, but that's the midah of Avraham Avinu. Then we had fire, which represents the ox, and represents Esav and Yosef, and that represents Yitzchak Avinu. When it's bad, Avraham Avinu comes to fight that, but that's represented by Avraham Avinu. Tiferes is represented by Yaakov, because the power of Yaakov was not necessarily to be one way or another, but to know what to do when. In other words, a person can't be completely one way or completely another way and be perfect, because a person's going to meet different situations in life which require different ways of dealing with them. And therefore, a person has to have both the Torah and Gemilus Chasadim. And a person has to be able to have both the Eish and the Mayim. And only a person who can change based on the situation is a person who represents Tiferes, glory and beauty. And that's what Yaakov Avinu represents. Somebody who can change constantly back and forth when necessary. And that's why the change back and forth, which is represented by moisture, things which are moist and soft and can change, represents Yaakov Avinu Tiferes. What represents Puma represents Malchus, which is dryness and solid? I don't know. Doesn't say here. If I had to take a guess, I would say David HaMelech, but I don't know how. Perhaps some other time. But in any event, now we come to a very interesting Gemara Brachos, which Reb Tzadok discusses. Oh, so by the way, so it says Levar Natlim Lo'alin Hani Kalbin Dachatzifin. Right. What we mean is that on Shabbos, when you get to Shalosh Shudas, Shabbos is Mein Olam Haba. Right? Mein Olam Haba means that it's something which is the glimmering of the Midah of Atika. Atika means the ancient thought. What was the ancient thought of Hashem? Sof Maisa Machshava Tchila. The first thought of Hashem is to give us the reward of Olam Haba. It happens to be that that's the last thing in the process, because the Tikkun and the rectification only comes after the Kilkul, after all the years of ruination. But that's Shabbos is already Me'ein Olam Haba, glimmering of Olam Haba. And the highest point on Shabbos, at the pinnacle of Shabbos, is Shalosh Shudas. So that's the time when we reach into the Midah of Atika and completely connect to Hashem, the highest point of connection to Hashem on the Shabbos, which is the time when we're most capable of fighting Amalek. Even Kalbin the Chatzif, even the brazen dogs, even the greatest evil of Amalek can be fought at the time of Shalosh Shudas. Rav Klenimus Kalma Shapiro, the Chovas HaTalmidim, he says that the Shal Shudas is the Ne'ilah of a week. or this is the high point of the week. This is the pinnacle of the Kedusha one can achieve every week, and that's why it can fight even the greatest form of evil. All right, let's go on to the next thing, which is the three Mishmaros. The Gemara Bracha says that the night is divided up into three Mishmaros, three watches, right? There's the first watch of 4 hours, shows manius, of course, the not clock hours. The first Mishmar, the second Mishmar, and the third Mishmar. The first Mishmar, the Gemara says, the donkey brays. The donkeys bray during the first Mishmar. The second Mishmar, the dogs bark. The third Mishnah, the children, the babies nurse from their mothers, and spouses chat with each other. So Rashi says people start getting up and they start talking, they start schmoozing. Now it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars, Sha'ogi Shagel Naveu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash at each Mishmar. So Reb Tzadok explains, the dark night, every night represents Golos. Darkness represents Golos. What causes Golos? The fact that there is no Beis HaMikdash. How are the windows in the Beis HaMikdash constructed? Narrow on the inside and broad on the outside. The exact opposite of windows with normal windows, right? To connote that the light goes from the Beis HaMikdash out and not from the Beis HaMikdash in. So that's why the darkness comes from the lack of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu bemoans every night, so to speak, the lack of the Beis HaMikdash, al naveu, the Beis HaMikdash, which is no longer around, because that's what caused the darkness of Golos. Now, in the Golos itself, there's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Chronologically, there was the beginning of Golos, which is the time when the Gemara was written, the middle of Golos, which is all the years of Golos after that, and the end of Golos, which is our time. The first Mishmar, which is the beginning of Golos, the Mishnah at the beginning of Baruch Hu says is the time of Kriya Shema. The time when it's easiest to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. That was the time which corresponds, Reb Tzadok says it corresponds to Gemilus Chesed, but I would like to learn a little bit different than Reb Tzadok tonight, if you'll forgive me, which is that it corresponds to the time of Torah. That was the time, in fact, when Torah Shebaal Peh was edited, right? When the Gemara was written, the time of the Tannaim and the Amoraim. And that is corresponds to Chamor. What is a chamor? It's a time, the Reb Tzadok says here, it's a chamor, the meat of a chamor. The danger of a chamor is that a chamor is cold. The Gemara says, he brings down the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Gimel, which says a donkey, even in the middle of summer, is cold. What does it mean, a donkey, even in the middle of the summer, is cold? It means a donkey has the danger of being cold and lazy and not using his time properly. Donkey, we said, is stupid. He doesn't know how to do the right thing. So one has to take that and channel that and use it the right way by making oneself a pack animal of a donkey. And of course, the Rambam says that someone who wants to be a Talmid Chacham has got to learn every night. And he can't lose even one of his nights in sleep. What does it mean? The beginning of the nighttime. One would normally start sleeping then. If one was indeed, or slack off. Relax. But the meat of a Jew is not to even in Golos, when it's dark, and a person should get lazy, and a person could be lulled into sleep. No, a Jew fortifies himself and strengthens himself and learns. That's why the Rambam says, Dan Tubav, when the nights start getting longer, because already the days change and they become shorter, at that time a person has to start learning more at night. And the Rambam says, most of a person's Torah, one learns at night. Darkness is a time which we don't understand exactly why, but the Gemara says, Harbe Yosir Tzadikim immediately b'churbana yotzim b'binyana. Darkness, the Golos, is a time which generates Torah, and the Golos is there in order to learn more Torah. So a person can't give in to that atzlus, to that coldness. A person has to use it. A person has to use it by using the other midah of chamor, not the water of laziness, of sleep, but the water, which is one of taiva, of yearning, which flows and takes on the lust for involving oneself in Torah. That's the first part of the night. The second part of the night corresponds to avodah. Avodah Hashem. And what does it mean, avodah Hashem? The Gemara says here, it's the time when the dogs bark. Well, that's the meat of Amalek. How do we defeat the meat of Amalek? By emulating Yaakov Avinu, the power of Avoda. And that's why there's this tefillah which none of us say, but there's tefillah which was made for the middle of the night, which is Tikkun Chatzos. It's a special tefillah for the it's a time of tefillah in the middle of the night. So Litvak, they don't do that. They learn even when they're supposed to daven. But that's a special tefillah which was made for the middle of the night. And the Gemara says, not here, Brachos, but the Gemara says, Zohar rather says, that Bnei Yisrael, when they daven, Tzokim Kekelev, Hav. They cry out like a dog, give, give. In other words, davening is also, a dog has bad traits, it's brazen, but it also represents sometimes something good. The dog barks out and asks from its master whatever it needs. So too, if we want to use the midah of kelev properly, we have to be brazen in asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what we need. In other words, chutzpah is good in a certain sense. When it's used to ask a good, like Choni Amagel used it, right? He used chutzpah in order to demand the needs of Klal Yisrael. So there is a good chutzpah. In tefillah, we can be, to a certain extent, obviously there's limitations, chutzpah, they can, so to speak, asking for the needs of Am Yisrael. Well, that represents the second stage of Golus. The second stage of Golus was the time of all the tzaras and travails which Am Yisrael had, which were times when we were constantly involved in the avodah of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save us. Finally, we enter the third stage of Golus, which is already towards morning. That's the time when people start, the children start to suck, and the spouses start to speak. Represents two things. There's a tzaddik. The children start to suck. That represents the great yearning for Torah, specifically Tinoko Shabbos Rabban. But it means Torah in general. There's a great yearning for learning a lot of Torah at the end of the Golos. But besides that, there's the Gemilus Chasonim of the Ben Adam L'Chavero, which is the Isha Misaperesim Balo, the spouses talking together. In other words, the Ben Adam L'Chavero is very important. And says Reb Tzadok that the emphasis is here not on animals anymore. The beginning of the Golos was represented by a chamor, a donkey. The middle of the Golos is represented by a dog. Because even to daven for your own needs, something which is lacking. The highest level is represented by people. The spouses and the children. And that's the time when the tselem elokim of an individual is completed. When a person now, towards daybreak, towards the end of the goals, now comes the time to bring the shechina back into the world, to bring the divine presence back into the world by people fulfilling their true tselem elokim, by being real people who emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, then the last Nisayon of the Golos, this is, it seems to me, because Reb Tzadok changes the order, like I said before, but it seems to me that the last Nisayon of Golos is Sinas Chinam. All the strife among Jews themselves, which has to be overcome by Isha Misaperes Simbala, by having all this Gemilus Chesed between individuals. So that's what the final stage of Golos is overcome when you have this Isha Misaperes Simbala, that when all the Sinas Chinam, which of course is so prevalent, and which is the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was originally destroyed, is overcome, and someday when there will be Shalom among the Jews, then that represents the culmination of Golos. And says Reb Tzadok is also a mystical thing here. The wife represents Am Yisrael. The husband represents the Shechina. And it says Isha Misaperes Simbala. It says the woman talks to her husband. What does it mean? Am Yisrael has to take the initiative, right? We say Am Yisrael has to bring the geula. So Isha Misaperes Simbala, Am Yisrael has to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the geula by doing the right thing, to bring HaKshuras HaShechina, to bring the Shechina back into the world. And finally, the Gemara says that there are Mishmaros in the heavens which correspond to the Mishmaros in the world. In other words, what we do is what brings about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence in corresponding and correlating ways. So when we speak about the Mishmaros Ba'aretz, these Mishmaros are emulated then by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens. In other words, all of our activities in this world bring about a Midah Keneged Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's we see here also the same pattern. The Torah represented by the Chamor, the Avodah represented by the Kelev, and the Gemilus Chesed, there is no shore here, but the Gemilus Chesed, which is the final thing, which culminate, which again brings that cycle in here in this aspect as well. Stop here.
Okay, let's start talking tonight with the Ramchal. The Ramchal speaks about the various... The Ramchal is a very interesting short essay on how spiritual aspects of the Bria relate to physical aspects of the Bria. And it would be very, very good, and not for the fact that it's very hard to understand, but it's almost unique in the sense that the I shouldn't say unique because I'm not a big expert on Kabbalah, but most Kabbalistic works focus on the theories and pathways of spirituality and not how they connect up to the physical world. So this is almost unique in that it speaks about the he also speaks here about the how spirituality links up with the physical world and how these things are correlated. So we're just going, we just started. So we're just going here on the top page. He speaks here about Kol Nivraim HaTachtonim, all the creations which are created in the world below, Shlosh Advarim Tzarich L'dasman, the three things we have to know about them. Now, these three things are three specific things, and I'm not so sure I like the way he categorizes them, because they're not apparent from the categories he gives them. I just wrote them up on the board, which is easier than looking inside. The three categories that he wrote, the three specifics are the created creatures, in other words, the creatures as they were created in this world, in the physical world, the heavenly manipulation, how these things were manipulated by God, and the divine thought or intent, what God meant to do, but with all means to do with all these things. Now, that's the way he writes them in the first paragraph here, but that's not 100% accurate. We'll see in a few minutes. The overall categories don't exactly match up with the specifics which he then applies to them. But let's nonetheless go through it the way he describes it. He goes on to the second category, which around the first category to describe it, which is the created creatures. And he says, the world was created with cycles of creation and destruction, as he calls it inside in Oz Beis, Havoya v'Hefseid. The creation is Havoya and Hefseid is destruction. Now, everything which is destroyed and which is created and destroyed has Chomer and Tzura, which are form and substance. Chomer is the substance, and Tzura is the form. Now, in Kabbalah, Chomer means the substance, the physical substance of an object, whereas Tzura means the spiritual nature of that object. It means, of course, the form, but it means the spiritual form of it. The various different forms which substance takes are the differences in how they look and act. What do we mean by that? The Ramban already writes on Chumash that when matter was created, all matter was undifferentiated. It was called Chomer Hiyuli, undifferentiated matter, and it was only later that the matter was differentiated into different types and different categories that everything received the Tzura, the form which it has. That form, as I said, is not just a physical form, although the different creatures have different physical forms, but it's also the spiritual essence of that form. Now, when a substance loses its form, it's destroyed. When a substance takes on its form, it's created. The way that works is that there are spiritual forces called Chayos HaKodesh, which are the spiritual Tzura of the physical Tzura. In other words, the physical form is what you look like in this world. Well, not you. Let's take something more simple. Let's take a chair. The physical form of the chair is what the chair... The chomer of the chair here is metal and plastic. And the tzura of the chair, the form of the chair, is something to sit on. And the spiritual form of the chair is, although chair is not a good example, perhaps because it's an inanimate object comprised of smaller inanimate objects, but the spiritual form of the chair would be the Chayos HaKodesh, which control the chair. Now, as I said, a chair is not a good example. A better example, which we know from Chazal, is a blade of grass. A blade of grass has the substance of the blade of grass. Then you have the form of the blade of grass. And then there's the spiritual form of the blade of grass, which Chazal say that Ein Lecha Kol Esav Esav, there is no blade of grass, which doesn't have a malach, which stands over it and tells it to grow. So that's the spiritual tzura of the object, the spiritual form, so to speak. All of this comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah, or one of the spheros, the tenth sphero, which is called Malchus. What does it mean, the tenth sphere of Malchus? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the tenth sphere, which is called Malchus, brought together all the koichos which he brought into the Bria, which correspond to the first nine spheros. And he, so to speak, said, okay, now all the powers and different nuances have been created. Now I'm prepared to make myself a Malchus, a place to reign in this world. Now I am creating, obviously I'm just giving it over as a story in order to make it easier to understand. Now I am creating the Chayil Sakodesh, the angels, which are the spiritual substance, the spiritual form rather, which will then in turn interact with the physical substance to create the physical form which we see in this world. That's why the Malachim were created before all the other creatures were created, so that the Malachim could interact with the physical substance in order to create all the differentiated physical forms which we see in this world, corresponding to the Malach interacting, the specific Malach interacting with the form, with the substance. So therefore, for instance, a blade of grass Malach interacted with the Chomer Yuli, with raw material, to form what we perceive as a blade of grass in this world. And of course, all these things are created and destroyed, created and destroyed, created and destroyed. Blades of grass come and go, flowers come and go, animals come and go. All those things are the Havaya Vefse, the created and destroyed cycles of these physical objects. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, now we move on to the next category, which is the heavenly manipulation. What did God want to do with these things? God manipulated all these objects, all these powers, forces, and objects, in order to have that midah of Malchus, the reign of God, come to fruition in this world. Now, how does the reign of God come to fruition in this world? It's not so simple. It's not that God said, okay, I want to reign, I'm going to create a kingdom, everything will be hunky-dory. It's not, you know, like he took toy soldiers and arranged them in a room and said, okay, I am now the king of all you toy soldiers. No, it wasn't so simple. That's what we would do, you know, that's what a kid would do for God. He wanted Bali B'chira. He wanted to have a kingdom full of human beings who are going to have free will whether to choose him as a king or not. And therefore, there is a system in which there's Ra and Tov. There's bad and good. Everything doesn't start out rectified. Things have to be brought to a process of rectification, l'sakein olam b'malchus shakai, to rectify the world in the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, in Malchus, we have the Tov and Ra, Kilkul v'Tikun cycle. You have the bad and good, it really should be Ra and Tov, the bad, and then the good which comes afterwards. And you have the Kilkul, you have the ruination, which afterwards is rectified. In other words, we started out with Tov Avo v'choshech al pnei sahom, and then eventually we want to come to have a world which is beautiful and perfect, a tikkun olam b'malchus shakai. Now, he brings down here at great length that the Tov Avo was a very, very ruinous stage of things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he came to put our stage of existence into being, remove the Tov Avo. There no longer is this darkness and destruction and ruination of Tov Avo. All we have is the created Choshech of Olam Hazeh, which is a much lower level. Obviously, we don't know what Tov Avo looks like, although Chazal say some things about it, but it's a much lower level of absence of light. Our darkness is a relatively simple darkness. But for us, it's hard enough to deal with. And that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us, in order that we should deal with this darkness and bring the Malchus Shakai into this world. Now, the way it works in this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has four overall midos, which he uses in manipulating the world, in order that the world should be run efficiently. They are four of the ten spheros. Now, the thing is, there's something very confusing about spheros. The thing about spheros is that although there are ten of them, they occur on different levels in different ways. What do I mean by that? I just spoke before about everything coming from the Midah of Malchus. That means, on one level, everything comes from Malchus. In other words, the way Chazal say it, there are four worlds, which are Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, Asira. We'll see. For tonight, it doesn't make a difference what each world represents. But all the spheros in the world of Atzilus do not connote any specific form of interaction with the world below. But rather, they represent the forces which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in order to run the world. From Malchus of Atzilus, from that force which is called Malchus in that highest realm, so to speak, there, from there everything comes, which then becomes the world below with all the various different parts thereof, all the myriad aspects of the world. But in the world itself, forgetting about where it came from and what forces God created to proceed and be the foundation of the world, in the world itself, there are four forces which are at work, which, to confuse us, are given the same names as the spheros which preceded, the forces which preceded the world, which are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and Malchus. And I'm going to explain them in a minute. But you understand what I'm saying now? It's confusing, but there are two separate dimensions we're talking about here. One dimension, or level, is the forces which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in order to then set the groundwork for the world to come into existence, which are called, for our purposes tonight, Spheros of Atzilus. Whereas there also are the same identical Spheros, but used in a different context to tell us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in an ongoing sense, controls the world. And they are in primarily Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and Malchus. Those are the primary ones which concern us. What happens with them? How do they work? So the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato here, says in Yediyah Gimel, on the bottom right, Shoresh Hakol, the source of everything, and now we're moving on to the third level, which is the divine intent. Shoresh Hakol, the source of everything, who Hashleimus Elyon is the complete perfection, the lofty perfection, Shel Ein Sof Baruch Hu, of the Infinite One, blessed be He. Shehu Ayin. He is called nothingness, because we have no perception. Do you see where I'm reading? We have no perception of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually is. Avla Malchus. But God's reign, in which He intended this world to be, Hu Yesh, is substantive, is something which we can perceive. Vayinu Arishimu, and this is the impression, Shanisha, which is to be found, Kutra Beguma, connected to the substance. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created some trace, you know, Magodlu Ma'asecha, Hashem, Odonku Ma'akshvosecha. We can see some trace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the wondrous things, all the various different raw materials, substances, and forms which He created in this world. Let's skip down to the next paragraph. Arba Echus HaTeva. There are four qualities in nature. Kar v'chom, cold and heat, lachus v'yovesh, moisture and dryness, v'arba acher v'vinyan gufim, and there are four other qualities in how the bodies are constructed, in other words, physical substances. V'ayinu, which are roch v'koshi, softness and hardness, kalus v'koven, lightness and heaviness, and hein gake, these are things which come from pe'ulas, Arba Osios Yudke Vavke Ben Ibrahim, the way the four letters in the Shem Hashem have to do with the created beings. Now, obviously we could spend hours and days trying to understand this, but let's skip down to Tes Zayin, which is primarily what concerns us tonight. Hamahusu, the essence of every entity in this world, Nimshach, comes, Miderech Yitzias Agashmim Leosos. comes from the way the physical properties are come out and come into being. This is the secret of the letter, the word mehaveh, shushem echad yotzi mishem ayin beis barbosios, which is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which comes out from his 72 letter name, when it's permuted into four letters. Shumidaso mehaveh, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah, to sustain. Visodo, and the secret of this name is that it's Rosh Tevos. Mina olam vad olam, God sustains from world to world. What is this? This is how God relates from on high, so to speak, to the separate entities down here below. And there is this one power, which is Mehaveh, which brings out the lights. What are the lights? Upolimbo arba rashim, there are these four primary heads, the four primary midos, which are chesed, gevurah, tiferes, and malchus, chag tam. V'osim shtei tzinoros. Chesed, gevurah, tiferes, and malchus make two pipelines by which they bring down God's influence to the world. L'chol shnei tzadim, zeh v'chzeh. And these two pipelines are on opposite sides, and they're opposite powers. Hatzinor echad. One pipeline is when there comes down either God's gvura, God's might, or God's rachamim, God's mercy. Also, shenim shochim b'gvura, the emanations which come with might, yotzim bislatus, they come up with fire, umihirus, and quickly. V'zeu hachom, and that is heat. V'osam shenim shochim b'rachamim, those which come out with mercy, yotzim b'menucha rabba, come out very, very peacefully, v'ikuv gadol, very slowly. V'otzin, and that's cold, comes out slowly. V'otzin or acher, there's another pipeline which comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, omei lischabrus ha'osios ha'mitzchabim la'geshem ha'u, which connects the letters. And we know letters always represent the shemos of Hashem, which give life to something. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the letters of the Aleph base. So when we say the letters, we're talking about, I assume, the letters which are the essence of the Hebrew alphabet, which connotes the life force in each and every entity which is created. Now, there's one which omei lischabrus ha'osios ha'mischabrim l'geshemahu. There's a pipeline which connects the letters to an object. Mitzad echad motzi osios b'abis hapchus. On one side, it gives the letters cascade out, turning over and tumbling over. Shemis hapchim b'mishapchus b'tzirufeim, in ways in which they change back and forth. V'chosim b'mishapchim, and they change again. Ve'enam shoktim, they're not quiet. Mitzad achad, on the other side, omdim koshim, they stand hard. Below his hapchus, without changing at all. Zeu halachus, one is moisture, where things change, the letters change back and forth. Vayov, that's moisture. Vayovish, they're the things which are dry. That's obviously the things which don't change at all. Ki hametzius hagashmim, because all physical entities, huaydei chagtam, is through chesed, gvur, tiferes, and malchus, v'yeshba arba drachim kanal, and it has these four pathways, like we mentioned before. V'zeh osa ba'amos, and this creates the essence of an object, hamishtanel v'koch amotzi, based on whatever power is more supreme. And therefore, v'elu arba echuyos, these four qualities, Mari Mautzah Zos Bidrochel. They manifest themselves in the properties of an object. Vim Atzo Mishtani Lefi Shoresh Hamotzi. And they change based on the root from which they come. Vim Sashakol Kar B'chol Makom Shehu. So whenever you find something which is cold, in some way, shape, or form, Mara Inyon Otzah Sageshem B'chesed. It shows that there's chesed involved because it comes out slowly, without flame. Da'ainu b'koach echad. That's one of its kochos, at least. Avo b'shagesh miyam b'shor shacher, even though it has many other kochos which are different. Ha'korshebo, the quality of coldness which it has, Yiroam Tzosom in a Chesed chose its quality of Chesed. Nimtzu Kan Mischabrus Haidios Echad. And he goes out to describe this more. That left the Spanish paragraph. So here we can know all the things coming together. What the nature of the creature is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from it, and what the divine intent with it is, which is Dainu Sod HaMahus, the secret of the essence of an object, who in Yadaki Otzos HaGashmim, is how these physical objects came into being, Shem Arba Drachim, which are four ways. Perusha, in other words, HaMehirus VaMosun, we have haste and slowness. Bishapchus, things which change back and forth. Ve'amida, and things which are still. V'chein inyan zen nimtza ba'atzmim atzmam. And we can find this in the entities themselves which are created. Mitzad shim yochid yotzim medrachim el, because they came out in this way. Kimi shekoy chosav yotzim be'ikuv ze'achar ze. Somebody who's very relaxed and laid back, you know, California type person. He is hukar. It's like a cold person. Umi sheyotza bislatus, somebody who comes out with a flame, hukam. He's a warm type person. Misha ein amida l'tzirufa, of somebody who's constantly on the move, back and forth and changing their mind, hulach, is a moist type person. Valkei mischarba b'acherim. And therefore, he's very, very capable of connecting to others or other beings. Oz nismach b'tirufacher, because he's constantly recreating and reconnecting himself, l'fisha mash nismachala, based on the person to whom he has, or the thing to which he has more connection. Then he goes on to describe it later in greater detail. But the point which he makes here, which is important for us, is that, just to recapitulate, is that there are four properties which correspond to Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and Malchus. Chesed corresponds to cold. Things which are cold represent Chesed. Gvura corresponds to things which are hot. Tiferes corresponds to things which constantly are changing back and forth, manipulating and redirecting. And one second, and Malchus are those things which are fixed and firm and constantly the same. Now, the way this works out is that the Chesed, why it's this way, is because my Malchus language, which is fixed, is because the way the spheres work is that everything flows into Malchus. Malchus receives from everything else. So therefore, Malchus is like the receptacle. Everything else emanates and flows. Malchus is a receptacle. So therefore, Malchus represents something which is firm and fixed upon which other things impact. So therefore, you have things like you have in the early Greek and also Kabbalistic literature, you have the four Yesodos as well, which are Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofar. So Eish is obviously hot, and Mayim is obviously cool, and Ruach represents those things which change around a lot, right? They constantly change back and forth. And Ofar is those things which are constantly fixed. So Chesed is Mayim, Gevura is Eish, Tiferes is Ruach, and Ofar is Malchus. Dirt is Malchus. And I'm going to explain this in a little bit more in a moment. Yeah. I'll explain that in a minute. I'll get that in a second. Yeah.
Gevura has always thought to me as something that's introverted, that keeps things in. I wouldn't associate that with fire, which is always giving out.
Well, all those things give out. See, the Chesed, water flows, and fire spreads, wind blows. The only thing which doesn't spread is offer, right? Is dirt, which just receives. So all those things, Yitzchak Avinu, let's say, was introverted, so to speak. He also went out and taught Torah. Introversion is not really the trait of Gevura, rather it's restraint is the trait. You understand the distinction? We'll explain a little bit more when we get down to the next part. Now let's turn the page and see this Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok brings down here on the top, in Yud Aleph, on the top part of the page, which is, of course, Reb Tzadok here, and some talking about Parsha Zohar. Reb Tzadok says, speaking about Levar Natlim Vlo Alin, Hani Kalbin the Chatzifin. This is from the Zmiras Vishal Shudis, from the Askinu Sudasa. And it says, let them go out and not come in, those fresh dogs, those brazen dogs. So it's a very cryptic line, obviously, in the Zmiras Vishal Shudis. And he brings down a Zohar Kodesh, which concerns this. The Zohar says, Ashrechem Zorei Amayim, blessed are you those who plant on the water, Mishalche, who throw out, Regel, the feet, in other words, that they don't allow their fields to be trampled over, by Hashor v'chamor, by oxen and donkeys. Inun train Kisrin, the oxen and the donkeys, are the two crowns. Smola, Smola da'achinabu amin akum de'ikrun shor. The one on the left, which is the shore, is the one in which certain goyim are connected to. V'chamor, and there's also chamor, which is the one on the right, which other goyim are connected to. V'ayinu d'chsiv, and that's what Yaakov says, v'ahili shor v'chamor. Uvi Yisrael, zakoin, Yisrael are lucky. Mishachilu, when Yisrael are lucky, or they have divine assistance, Mishachilu, they kick them out. And these goyim cannot have rain over them. Although the chassidus would say mishalche, we kick them out. However, when they connect together, the ox and the donkey, mibein sitchilhon, from the combination of the two of them, nafik mitkifusa dilhon, there comes out their strength and power, the great kelev, which is called the dog. The shor v'chamor, from Shor and Chamor, Heim Shteya Klipos to Esav Yishmol, are the two tumos of Esav and Yishmol. Shemehem Nistah, from them came out Shivim Aklipos, the 70 powers of evil, Lamed Hei Miyamino, the 35 on the right, Lamed Hei the small, 35 on the left, Kamosh Kosov Arizal, like the Arizal right, Uklipa, and from the two of them comes out Amalek, which is the Klipa of Kelev. Uklipas Yishmol, Hu Ataiva Vechemdos Haros. The klipa, the tumah Yishmol, is taiva, lust, and bad desires. Valzemaram is chamor, and this has to do with the donkey. Shekein kosu b'mitzrim, it says about the Egyptians, asher b'sar chamorim b'soram. Their flesh was the flesh of donkeys. Keyushtu feizima, they were flush in lust and in licentiousness. V'chein ksiv, it says about Eliezer, the Eved of Avram and Yishmol, shvulachem poima chamor, sit here with the donkey. And they darshan this about this. Of course, Rashi brings this down on Chumash. Am hadoyim lechamor. They're a nation which is like donkeys. Ve'mayu Eliezer v'Yishmo. Eliezer, because avodim shtufei zima. Avodim are awash in lust. Kamosh Kosuv, like it says in Shetziva Kanan is bon of Kanan, commanded his children. This is his last will and testament. Elvu usadima, love lust. Yishmael ben Shivcha Mitzrayim, and Yishmael, of course, was the son of a maidservant from Egypt. Shor Korah Kirsh Baruch Hu ben Amal, as God called him, the son of the maidservant. Vakenim Shal Chamor, and the Egyptians, of course, were also very licentious, and that's where they're likened to a donkey. Vigam Kol Baal Taiva, and also anybody who's a Baal Taiva who goes after a lust, Osa Maisa Shtus, does things which are stupid. V'isa, and it says, Alasono Shel Bilam, concerning the donkey of Bilam, Shezo HaTipshus Shel Bebehema, that a donkey is the stupidest animal. Ayin Shom. V'chein Lashon HaGemara, and so in Lashon HaGemara, when one of the Amoroim wanted to rank out another, he said, Kol Abba Chamra. Said, anybody whose name is Abba is a Chamor. Upirash Rashbam, and the Rashbam explains, Shoyta Chachamor, stupid like a donkey. V'chein Isan, it says, a lot of times, Talmidei Chachamim do not have children who will be Talmidei Chachamim themselves, mishum dekoron le'inshei chamrei, because they call people chamorim. Hainu shemizgayim al tzibur, that means that some Talmidei Chachamim mak the balabatim b'chachmasam, since they think they're wise, lachshiv al kol ketipshin, they think everybody else is an idiot. The chamor atipish b'vehema kanal, and a chamor is the stupidest animal. The taiva maisashtus, and taiva is an act of stupidity. Kamosha Kosu, like it says, why was Shittim called Shittim, the place where they had the Maisa with Pinchas and Zimri? Why? Because Ein Adam Over Aver, a person doesn't transgress an Aver, particularly this Aver of taiva, Ela in Kein Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus, unless he has a spirit of stupidity. Shneimer, as it says, saying it says, Kitista Ishta, by Asota, is called Asota because it's akin to the word Shoita, which has to do with stupidity. Kiech Tus Godom is there. There's no greater stupidity than Taiva. Kildava Mos, it should be repulsive. Kamoshkosov, like it says, Isha, it says a woman, and same thing is, of course, true about a man, but any human being, a Schemas Moleitzah, is a bucket full of excrement. How could a person have such base lusts? Obviously, it's a stupidity. It means a person's not refined. V'shoyt azeh, somebody who follows these base lusts, ma'abid olamo, loses his world, b'shvil rega echad, for one moment, the taiva nuvelis of repulsive taiva. V'akein nikra klipas yishmol, that's why the tumah of yishmol is called the chamor, the taiva is called chamor. V'klipas esav, the tumah of esav is hakina, is jealousy, ritzicha, and murder. Nikra shor. That's called an ox. Why? Because it says, Gemara says, Apimashkosud behema eats ye yetzahara. It says, we see an animal has a yetzahara. How do we know that? Because we see the kachazinon, we see the mazka, they damage, v'nashcha, and they bite, ubata, and they kick. And the animals which we're talking about, of course, in Baba Kama, where all this is brought down about animals, it always talks about oxen. The oxen are considered to be particularly violent animals. So this violence is connected and correlated to Esav. And Amar Yaakov, Yaakov said, corresponding to this, Vayhi li, I had, he said to Esav, I have shor v'chamor. Who are the shor v'chamor? V'isa shor is a Yosef. The ox is Yosef, right? It was benot sadar ale shor. You can also read that, shor. It says when Moshe tried to get Yosef, Aaron, out of the Nile River, so he said, went to the edge of the river and said, Ali shor, Ali shor, right? Come up the ox, come up the ox. Whereas, v'chamor is a Yisachar, who's called the donkey by Yaakov Avinu? Yisachar chamor gorem. Yisachar is called the donkey. Why is this? The Issa B'Gemara says, b'zman she'oskim b'yed Torah g'milus chasadim, when individuals are involved in learning Torah, and in doing good works between man and fellow man, Yitzra Moser B'Yadam, their Yitzra is controlled by them. Shneimer, it says, Ashreichem ko azorei al ko mein. But praiseworthy are those people who can plant on all the waters. What is waters? Ve'ein zriya el etztaka. Planting is planting tztaka. So, and it brings there a pasuk. Ve'maim el Torah, at water is Torah. Visa pasuk zeh, and it says in this pasuk, Mishalchi regla shor v'chamor, people, how do you throw out the ox and the donkey? Kol osik b'torah gemilus chasadim, anybody who's involved in Torah gemilus chasadim, zoche l'nachla shnei shvatim. He zoche to the two tribes of Yosef and Yisachar. Ki oivav znoiflin lefonav ki Yosef. His enemies fall before him like Yosef. V'zoche l'bina, and he zoche to understanding like Yisachar. Ki Yosef hain gemilus chasadim. Yosef, being the king, was the Bergona Chasadim, Mutztaka, Vatov Labriel. And he was good to other people. Hefech Klipas Esav, the exact opposite of Esav. Sha'amaru says, HaPosuk, Dam Sonesa, whatever, I'm not sure this Pasuk is, but Sinas Doma Sha'adam Megufo, he hated that people's blood should remain in their bodies. He who Rala Briels, he was evil to individuals. Uv Esav Amalek, Siv, and similarly it says by Esav and Amalek they didn't fear God. By Yosef it says it's Elohim and Yore. He feared God. Therefore it says it's She'ein Zaro Shel Esav. The children of Esav are not given over Nimsar El Biyad Zaro Shel Yosef. And similarly Esav who wrote Seach Begozel. Esav was a murderer and a thief. By Yosef it says by Chalka Yosef. Yosef supported and helped everybody. V'nikral Shem Zeh Kalkal. And therefore it's called Kalkal, Shazon Vikil Klabrios, he supported and sustained all the creatures. Vubi Kedusha, and he's in Kedusha Nega Klipas Esav, corresponding to Esav, Venikra Gamkin Shor, and Yosef is also called the Shor, Kamosh Kosu Bagmar. Now it's interesting, because Yosef is associated with the power of Esh. Yosef is always connected to us with Esh, and that would seem to mean that Yosef was like Esav in that, well, not like Esav, but let's say like Yitzchak. Like Yitzchak in that, you said before, he was introverted. And he had difficulty getting along with people. Because people are age, people are fiery. They don't get along well with other people. One would assume that they don't get along with people. But Yosef obviously was a person who had this potential to be like Esav, or let's say like Yitzchak, and he overcame it. He was able to overcome his natural personality drive to be a fiery person and create strife and create shalom and try and support and sustain and help other people. That was how Yosef overcame his aspect of shor. He could have been like an ox who's violent and creates strife, but he wasn't, because he changed his nature to use it for the right purpose. So that's why Yosef overcomes the kinah, the strife, by doing gemilus chesed. Similarly, Reb Tzora goes on to say, although we don't know that much about Yisachar's personality, it's likely that Yisachar also would have been much more predisposed to be a Yishmol type individual. Where a Yishmol type individual is a person who is very lustful and, in fact, gets along very well with other people. We say water takes on the shape of any vessel in which it finds itself. So, too, a person who's a Baal Chesed, he can relate to people very well. But it says, Yisachar Chamor Gorem. What does it mean, Yisachar Chamor Gorem? Rashi brings down there, it's from Chazal, that he was like a donkey carries loads of books. He carried loads of Sfarim. He overcame his Midah, which would have been to be a very social person, and, so to speak, closed himself up in a room and learned Torah day and night. And that's what a person who has a lust has got to do. It says, if you have a problem with the Yetzirah, how do you fight it? The Yetzirah of Arias. You fight it by taking it to the base medrash. In other words, by using your drive and your burning desire in order to involve yourself and immerse yourself day and night in Torah, which is overcoming it, but at the same time changing it. You're overcoming it because your natural predisposition would be to be very social and be very involved with other people. Whereas what you do is to close yourself up and to learn Torah. And besides that,